There's just a little line in St. Paul's, we're listening to the beginning of the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, and he reminds us, we've been sanctified in Jesus Christ, and through him we've been called to be holy. And I think I've mentioned this before, the second reading, we just started, and we'll keep going through the letter to the Corinthians until we get to Lent. However, that really lines up in a beautiful way with not only the gospel, but also the opening collect. This morning we prayed that through God's mercy, that we would receive his mercy and he would bestow peace in our times. And the reason I think that there's a link there between the holiness that we have, the sanctification through Christ, who has called us to be holy, is because in a certain way, we're the linchpin for the peace to be brought to this earth. It's not from us, it's from Christ. But to the degree and extent that those of us who follow Christ conform ourselves to him is going to be the extent that the world receives peace. And I'll come back to that in a moment, but the biggest obstacle in my mind to the peace on this world and even in our own country, is the destruction of the unborn. Today is Pro-Life Sunday, as you heard in the opening announcements. On Thursday, it's a day of penance and prayer so that all life will be protected in law from conception until natural death in this country. Now, of course, several years ago, the Supreme Court overturned the nationwide allowance for abortion. But not so here. 54 children die in this state every day from abortion. That's more than one of our classes in the grade school. And there cannot be peace in a country or in the world when the most people die in the whole world from abortion. Not from cancer, not from heart attacks, not from any other disease known to man, except for the willful destruction of the next generation. And so when we beg the Lord for peace, and we should also ask him to help convert hearts and the law. You know, I remember years ago, I was at a table, we were at a priest conference, and we were talking about the law, and one of the priests said, it doesn't matter what the law is, if we don't change hearts, nothing changes. And I said, that is absolutely not true. Most of us follow the law. When it says 30, you might go a few miles over, but you don't go 100. The law means something to us, and it should. Because human law, when it's just, is a participation in the divine law. And so when the law forbids abortion, things change. We have states in this nation where there are no abortions. There aren't chemical abortions, there aren't surgical abortions. But ours is not one of them. We have become an abortion destination. And so we do need to change the law, and we need to change hearts. Those are not mutually exclusive things. You know, some people in our parish and in another parish right now are working their tails off trying to have a maternity home because they help out at a Better Choice just up the street that helps women in crisis pregnancy situations. And we know that there are a lot of those. But we also know just by the sheer number of abortions, they aren't all a crisis. I remember one of the sidewalk counselors telling me that a lady came up to her and thanked her for the good work she was doing. And she knew that she needed, the lady was saying this to the sidewalk counselor, that the sidewalk counselor was needed on that sidewalk. And she appreciated the witness. But her and her husband were just too busy for another child. So keep up the good work. And we have to confront evil. And what did the sidewalk counselor do? She immediately started praying, gave that woman her phone number, like, I can help you. I can find somebody who will adopt that baby tomorrow. We have resources, and the resources, as far as finances were concerned, were not an issue for this person. But I think sometimes when we focus so much on that there are crisis situations, but when you're talking about over 53 years, and over 60 million babies, they're not all crisis. We have to confront evil, and we have to confront evil as followers of Jesus Christ. What weapons do we get? We get out the rosary. This week, Father Joseph and all the young priests and literally hundreds of our young people from this diocese, they're all going to get on buses and go to Washington, and they're going to have a prayerful protest. That's what pro-lifers have done since 1974. Just 1 year after Roe versus Wade, they gathered in the middle of winter, which is a terrible time to go to Washington, D.C., and they prayerfully protested this terrible and egregious law that allowed the destruction of a generation, and now we're into the fourth generation. And so we go back to St. Paul. We have been sanctified by Christ, and we're called to be holy. We're called to be holy. And who's holy? Jesus Christ. He shares with us his very holiness. And we have to make an act of faith that our faithfulness to Christ can change our part of the world. I'd love to mention this, and I think I've probably already mentioned it two times in this year, which is only 18 days old. The early church converted the pagan Roman Empire. How did they do it? The people who didn't want children would just leave them out to die. And the Christians would come and they'd pick those babies up and take them home. And the people who hated them, their next door neighbors, and someone got sick and they brought them food or they offered to help. That's our weapon. Our weapon, and it's not a weapon, is the love of God. We can wring our hands and say, what can I do? Well, you can get out there and be somebody filled with the love of God who shows that charity, not just to the people who are kind to us, as the Lord says in a different gospel. Like, what good is that to you? Even the Pharisees, even the pagans do the same. But we have to show the love of God to people who don't like us. We have to show the love of God to people we don't like. It's not like we have a choice. We do have a choice, but we can't say, you know what, I'll follow Jesus, but I don't have to care about those people. Yes, you do. By our very following of Jesus, we have to go so far as to love our enemies and to do good to those who don't do good to us. But all of that has to be undergirded and founded on living the life of grace, which of course means the sacramental life, regular confession, any time we're in a state of mortal sin, getting right to confession. It means receiving Holy Communion when we're worthily disposed and have followed the fasting rules of the church. But it also means the life of prayer. We've got to pray every single day. And then it's the life of charity. St. Thomas says the most powerful people, the ones who live the closest life of perfection, are the ones who receive the gifts from the Lord and put it into action. And every one of us, we have different gifts, we have different talents, we have different abilities, but the same charity, the same gift of God's love in our hearts and in our souls. And so we rightly beg for the Lord to bestow peace on our times. But we cannot sit idly by and wonder why it doesn't happen if we're not living the life of charity. And we need to pray for the end to the egregious sin of abortion. And we also need to work the life of charity to bring about the conversion of hearts. One of the things that the Catholic Church is so good about is preaching the mercy of God. We have these beautiful retreats called Rachel's Vineyard, because our answer to somebody who has had an abortion is not hellfire and condemnation. It's to reach out with the very mercy of God. And we have to remember that. When the Lord found that when they brought the woman caught in adultery, he could easily have chastised her and told her, your eternity is going to be in hell. But he didn't. He not only said, I do not condemn you, but go and sin no more. Both are necessary to be said. You and I have to also be missionaries of God's mercy, because this world needs it. Our city needs it. There's a lot of sin in Wichita. And our message has to be one of the love of God who came to suffer and die for you and for me. St. Paul says, I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, if I were the only sinner, Christ would have done everything he did just for me. That message is what converts hearts. And so on this Pro-Life Sunday, we first have to look interiorly. Lord, where is my heart? I need to completely submit to you, and I need to be faithful to you. You who have sanctified me by my baptism, and you call me to be holy. But then we also have to fight for life. There's no greater sin going on in America or across the world than the destruction of our youth. It cannot be the leading cause of death in the whole world and think that we'll have peace in our times. And so we have to use the love of God to change our own hearts, to be changed, and to help other people come to the truth. And that means we have to, as I mentioned earlier, we have to fight for just laws that protect life from conception to natural death. And we have to bring the love of Christ to all people, even those who don't like us. We need to pray for our enemies, and to do good to everyone. And when we do that, we imitate Christ. And then we keep asking for the gift of peace in each of our hearts and in all of our hearts.